The scripture this morning is going to be from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open it to that chapter, because we're going to be spending some time there this morning. Exodus 20 and verse 7. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And the Lord had a blessing for his reading. You know, the last couple of times I've had the opportunity to present a message, I started looking at the Ten Commandments. And when I was here last, I mentioned them as, I see them as like a white picket fence around us, protecting us from things that are outside that Satan is trying to throw at us. So we're going to be looking at one of those slats today, the third slat, the third commandment today. Before we open up the word, I ask, please bow your heads with me as we pray one more time. Father in heaven, I want to thank you again for being here with us this morning. And as we open up your word, I ask that you give us eyes to see the truth that you have put in your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us in all truth, and let it sink into our hearts and minds so deeply that it becomes part of us. Let us incorporate what we learned today into the very fabric of our being. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, when I was here, I looked at the first commandment, and that is in verses 2-3. I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Then a couple of weeks ago, I was up at Copper Mountain, and I spoke about the second commandment. Verses 4-6, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth below. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The first commandment is all about who to worship. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And the second commandment talks about how we worship, how we are to worship God. Today we're going to look at the third commandment, which as we read in our scripture today, and it brings us back a little bit to the who we worship. God wants us to know that the God we worship is holy. He is to be treated as such. Not only in our speech, but in our actions should we reflect this holiness. And that's part of what is in this commandment that we're going to talk about today. Now, names are important, aren't they? Where would we be without names? Right? I'm going to pick on my friends. If I looked out here and I said, "Hey, you over there in the black jacket." Now, I'm looking at this side of the church, and I'm seeing at least three people with either black, four people, five people with either black jackets or sweaters on that might respond, right? So, it's kind of difficult if we don't have names. It's much better if I say Tom or Sean. We also have multiple names and multiple ways that we are referred to. My surname is Lindsay, which means from the linden trees. My first name is Ronald, which means decisive ruler or leader. So you put those together, and I guess my name means that I'm a decisive ruler from the linden trees. Whatever that means. I happen to know there's not a single linden tree on by our house, so I don't know what that means. You know, I have several different email accounts. Right? Each one of those is different. So I have a different name on each one of those accounts. To our Social Security Administration, I am a 9-digit string, which I'm not going to relay here because we are being recorded. So names are terribly important to all of us. And any of you who have children know this, right? How difficult was it to find the right name for your child? I know personally my wife and I went through a lot of angst with trying to find the right name. We had books. We went through them. You know, we would think how that name sounded, if it was contracted. What are the nicknames of that person's name? I have to relay this. Also, when my wife was in labor with our first child, we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. But we were thinking it was going to be a boy. We had a boy name ready. Guess what God did? Yes, our first child, first daughter, was a girl. And we didn't have a name. I remember being in the hospital, ready to check out of the hospital with my wife, and we didn't have a name for our daughter. So we had to come up with one in a hurry. And I think we were blessed by God with the name we got for her. But it's very important. Names are very important. How do we communicate with each other? And how do we communicate with God? Today, there's a couple things I want you to take out of this message that we have here. Why does it matter if we take the name of the Lord in vain? And next, how do we misuse the name of the Lord? As many of you know, I grew up in a Catholic family. And when you're in a Catholic family, you have your first communion. A little bit later, you go to confirmation. And you have to study for each of these sacraments, right? You have to know some certain things. You have to go before the priest for your first communion and be able to recite the Our Father. You have to be able to recite the Hail Mary. You have to be able to show that you can pray a rosary. One of the things you have to do is be able to recite all the Ten Commandments, right? So, all of us memorized this. And I lived in a very Catholic neighborhood. All of us went to the Catholic school. There were a lot of Irish Catholics in this neighborhood, and we all went to school. We all had our first communion. We all knew the Ten Commandments. Or at least we could recite them. Right? So we all knew the Third Commandment. Third Commandment being taking the name of the Lord in vain. I used to think that this meant don't cuss, right? And when I was young, if I broke this Ten Commandment, I don't know how my mother did it, but she could hear me two blocks away, and she knew. I have these big ears now. I don't think they were always this big, but my mother would use them as a handle, and I would be dragged home right away. To this day, I think my mother, if I would text an OMG, I would sort of expect to get whacked on the side of the head by my mother. But we have this so pervasive in our culture today. People text OMG all the time. If you're just walking down the street, you hear people using the name of Jesus and God all the time. Why is this such a big deal that it's one of the Ten Commandments? You know, the other commandments, they all sort of make sense, right? If you look at them, you shall not kill. You shall not lie. You must not steal. You must not commit adultery. You must worship one God. All these make sense. But what is this one that's thrown in there? You mean just by misusing God's name, I'm sinning? You know, even William Shakespeare asked about this in his play, Romeo and Juliet. He said, Juliet, speaking to Romeo, said, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." So wouldn't our God still be our God no matter what we called him or how we called him? Certainly he would still be our God. But that's not the point. It must be a big deal. And it is a big deal. In the second half of the commandment, if you have your finger still in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." In the second half, "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." our Lord is telling us that this is important to Him. You know, this is only one of two commandments that come with a sort of a or else condition. Think about that. All the others. Thou shalt not kill. Okay? But thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. Certainly God takes this seriously. We can read in Leviticus, where God is speaking through Moses to the people of Israel in chapter 22, verse 32. It says, neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord thy God which hallow you. And in the New Testament, when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, Jesus responded, says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's important enough to Jesus that he honors the name of God. So maybe there's just a little bit more to this than I originally thought. Meaning that it's not just about cussing, but it might be a little bit more. Maybe this commandment is all about misusing God's name. Going back a couple weeks, I mentioned that when God introduced the Ten Commandments to His people, He had brought them together after He had gotten them out of Egypt. He had performed many miracles in Egypt. They rushed out of Egypt. They were confronted by the Red Sea, another miracle. They came out. They had to have water. They had to have food. God is providing all these miracles, but He hasn't had a time yet to really speak to them. And so, next to Mount Sinai, He brings them all together and starts reintroducing Himself. For 400 years, they had been living pretty much without God, without His influence in their life. And He wants to get reacquainted. And so He says in chapter 19 in Exodus, He calls them together, brings them face to face, and He starts talking to them and giving them His commandments. He starts with the first that we talked about, I am the Lord thy God. He says, this is me. I am the Lord. I am the one that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one that you can count on. And He introduces Himself to the people of Israel again. Then He goes on to the second commandment about how to worship, because He points out that the way that the Egyptians were worshiping idols, hundreds of gods, doesn't compare to what He can provide for them. Then He goes to the third commandment, and effectively He says, my name is special. It was so special that the Jewish people don't pronounce His name. You know, we use the name Yahweh or Jehovah. Those are contractions of consonants. We don't have the vowel. Might be Yahweh, might be Jehovah, but we don't know. We don't know the name that He gave to them at that time. It is so important to the people He gave it to, that they will not even pronounce His name. Why is that? A couple of things. First of all, our names are our reputations, aren't they? When we see somebody who's suddenly become successful, what do we say about them? See, they've made a name for themselves, right? Conversely, if we know somebody or observe somebody who's doing something bad, you say, they have a bad name. Right? It's our reputation is all wrapped up in our name. I've mentioned this before from here, but growing up, I occasionally heard the comment, I know who your daddy is. Now, when I was growing up, it meant something maybe a little different today, but somebody would say that to you, and it meant that I know what your dad stands for. I know what he could do. I know that if I help you, he's going to reciprocate. I know your family. What about this when we take on the name of our God? We take upon us the name of Christian. should people be able to say, I know who your daddy is? Because of the way we talk and the way we act? Can people say that about us today if we call God our Father? So what's in a name? Earlier in Exodus, in chapter 3, when God appears to Moses in the burning bush, Moses asks God for his name. In verses 13 and 14 of chapter 13, or chapter 3, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I'm come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. God is saying that he is the great I am. He's the one who has always been and will always be. Think about that. He was here before all creation. He can't say, I started at some point. He just says, I am. I am here. I am always going to be here. It's quite a name he has. Then 1400 years after that, Jesus came to earth. And he was asked his name in a dialogue with the religious leaders. At the time, he was talking about Abraham. And he made reference to something that Abraham did. And they said, what do you know about Abraham? You're less than 50 years old. And in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He takes on the very same name that God gave Moses to say, to identify himself. And if you think that he just sort of stumbled onto that, if you read the next verse, it's very clear that all the people around knew exactly what he was doing because they all picked up stones to try to stone him right there for blasphemy because they thought only God can claim that name. Jesus claimed it right then. Jesus came to heal the sick, repair the lame and blind, to raise the dead, to teach us about God. He demonstrated his power over creation by putting broken people back together when he was here. Quite a name that he has. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, his followers taught that God had given Jesus a name above all names. Paul, in writing in the Philippians, in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he says, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. They taught us, the apostles, the early church fathers taught us that everything we do, everything we say, should be done in the name of Jesus. So what's in a name? A whole lot. Everything. But how do we misuse the name of God? How do we misrepresent him to others? How do we dishonor his reputation, which is wrapped into that name? Well, in order to answer that, if we look at the commandment again, it's sort of written in a negative way. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. If we read it, and so we rephrase it as a positive statement, it might read something like, take God's name and honor it. And this gives us a strong clue on how we might misuse the name of God. Always we need to ask ourselves, are we bringing honor to God's name? Or are we dishonoring his name? Because when we dishonor his name, we are taking it in vain. Now, what does it mean to dishonor his name? First, going back to when I was young, it is irreverent to use God's name as slang, to use it as a cuss word. Isn't it interesting that of all the people that have walked on this earth, all the famous people, the only names that really get used as slang or curses are God and Jesus? Think about this. When you stub our toes, Are we tempted to yell out the name of George Washington when we get hurt? Yeah, no, absolutely. Why is that? Well, maybe Satan is more interested in having us denigrate the reputation of God rather than George Washington. See, if he can bring Jesus and God down to a point where it doesn't matter how holy we think they are, if they're just like any other being, then Satan is one. So if this is true, how much more should we be protecting their name? Second, we often focus on words. We curse and use God's name, which displeases Him. James 3:10, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. We're also thoughtless in our words, and this displeases Him. Proverbs 29:20, it says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. And finally, we often have idle words, which displease Him. Jesus, speaking in Matthew 12, says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Finally, it's dishonoring God's name by using it like a genie in a bottle. In Moses' day, the Egyptians had a whole slew of gods that they would go to. They would curse people by. They would try to get power from these inanimate gods. God is saying in this commandment that the power in His name is reserved for Himself and those who are His children. You know, this was the same thing that happened in the New Testament. In Acts 19, there's a recording of 7 brothers who tried to use Jesus' name to drive out demons. They wanted the power over demons, but they didn't want the relationship with Jesus. They said, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out. We know that there was no relationship with Jesus and these men because of the response of the demon in the possessed man. He said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but you, I don't know. Then the possessed man beat them until they ran from the house. 7 brothers. I think my mom could give them a run for the money. But today, people often use the name of God, not necessarily to drive out demons, but we still use it. We still see it being used to gain favor over people. Even in our culture today, which is somewhat hostile to spreading the gospel, it is still popular to claim Christianity on many occasions. We see this pretty prevalently in election season as well. People use the name of God to gain favor with other people. Think of how many businesses are set up as Christian businesses. How many people claim Christianity maybe for a relationship. When we do this, we're claiming God as like a genie in a bottle. And we're just bringing ill repute on His name. But there's more to the story. A better translation, actually, from the Hebrew, could use the word carrying instead of taking the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt not carry the name, Lord's name in vain. When we carry something, we put it on. And if we're putting on God's name and carrying it around with us, we can't be doing that in vain. You see, everywhere we go, everywhere you go, everywhere I go, people watch us. People listen to you. How do you handle different situations? How do you erupt if you get angry? You're just waiting for somebody to say, you know, if that's the way Christians act, I don't want anything to do with it. And that is using the Lord's name in vain, because we are taking His name when we call ourselves Christians. When we act in that way, we call ourselves Christians. Actions must not bring dishonor to God. In 2 Timothy 2:19 it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So what difference does it make if we know all this? How do we apply this to our lives? I suppose many of you are like me, want to honor God's name daily. How do we do this? How do we constantly uphold His name? How often have you tried to do this? Tried to be perfect? Tried to do great things for Him and failed? Maybe we're not meant to live up to His name, but live out His name. In Isaiah 62, verse 2, it says, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." Maybe we honor His name by taking on the name He can give us. So the question might not be what's in a name, but more, what is the name that you are bearing? If we take on God's name, we take on His character, we live our lives after Him, we are bearing His name. You know, when I was studying for this, all of a sudden it put into a different perspective, Matthew 8:20. Matthew 8:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." I used to think that this meant when several came together who called themselves Christians, God was going to be there. But what I realized after studying this means when some come together who are Christians, God will be there. There's a big difference between just calling yourself a Christian, a follower of God, and actually being and taking His name. So sometime between now and next week, I ask you to reflect on His name. Take a specific time, ask God to give you guidance and strength, and then let people see God through your words and actions. You know, I found so many times in just the last couple of months that when I pray and ask God to be part of me, that suddenly the situations that I was going in that I thought were going to be really tough. I knew I was going to speak with somebody that I didn't particularly like, or I was going to have a situation that I really didn't want to be in. But when I asked God to be there, suddenly things are a lot smoother. Not necessarily easier, but smoother. If we ask God to be with us, we can show His love. We can show His influence on us, to people around us. And second, I'd ask you to study on God's names. There are over 100 names in the Bible for God and Jesus. Son of God, Son of Man, Alpha, Omega, the Root, Bread of Life. All of these are names. We can go on and on. There's over 100 of them. Study some of those. Why is Jesus called that? Why is God called that? Learn more about Him by looking at His names. You know, the thing with the third commandment is the same with the other commandments, though. We have, every one of us, broken this commandment at some time. We have all misused or misrepresented the name of our Lord to others here on earth. But the great thing is that God is still there. In the first commandment, He said, "I want to bring you out of bondage." He wants to bring us out of bondage of sin. God is still there, wanting to be first in our lives, and wanting us to take His name as children. Will you do this today? Will you take on His name? Praise it and show other people